It sure is good to see all of you here this morning. As I look out into the audience, I see we have quite a few people that are visiting with us. We mean this when we say this. We hope you feel welcome. As a matter of fact, it is our hope and our desire that you will feel so welcome here at the Lindell Church of Christ that you will have the desire to come back and to be with us again. It is our hope and our desire that you would want to come back and worship God together with us again. And if you are willing and able to even study with us from the Word of God. My sermon this morning is meant to help those of you that are visitors and those of you that are members of this congregation understand what our hopes, what our wishes, what our desires are in our lives and why we're doing what we're doing here. Why we are assembling, why we are worshiping, why we are having Bible classes. Why are we doing this? What's our goal? What's our purpose? What's our desire for the people in our community? What's our desire and wishes for the people in our county, in our state, in our country, in our world? And then bringing it home, what are our desires and our wishes for those of you that are here this morning? We're going to begin our sermon by going over to Romans in chapter 10. And if you were not able to get a copy of the sermon outline, you'll find that the majority of the sermon is going to be found in the book of Thessalonians. And so you should be able to keep up with me in that way. But we will be looking at a few verses that are not in Thessalonians. And the first one is from Romans chapter 10. I wanted to start here because in the text you're seeing where the Apostle Paul is speaking about his desires and his wishes for his nation, his brethren Israel. He was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. And he was concerned about his fellow Jews, the Israelis, the Hebrews, because the majority of them were rejecting Christ as being the Son of God and the Messiah. And he says about them here in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Paul loved his fellow Jews. He was conscious and aware that many of his fellow Jews were rejecting Jesus as the Christ and the consequences of rejecting Jesus the Christ. And his most fervent hope, his most fervent desire and his prayer for his fellow Jews was that they all of Israel would be saved. And he recognized that these Jews, they have a zeal for God, but there was a problem. Their zeal for God was not according to knowledge. And he goes on further and he says in verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They were trying to make it to heaven to be with God in their own way. They were trying to establish their own righteousness through the law of Moses without Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. And they were refusing to submit to the righteousness of God. So again, from this text, we see that what Paul wanted was for all Israel to be saved. It shouldn't surprise you, because what is God's desire for all mankind? In 1 Timothy 2 and 3 through 4, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." What God's desire is for everybody on this entire planet. He wants everybody to be saved. You will notice in these two texts here in Romans and Timothy that there is a connection between their salvation and knowledge. Paul's desire was for Israel to be saved. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. God wants all men to be saved and to do what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a direct connection between our knowledge of the truth and our salvation. And the sad thing is, all men are not going to be saved. All Americans are not going to be saved. All Texans are not going to be saved. All Lindalians are not going to be saved. That is the reality of it. One of the scariest verses to me in the New Testament is Matthew 7:21, where Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto him, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There are people in the world who perceive themselves as being right with God, who call Him Lord, Lord, but are not doing the things which He says. If you go further in that text in verse 22 and 23, it talks about people who think they are prophesying and casting out demons and doing all kind of miracles by His authority and in His name. And He says to them in the day of judgment, I don't know you. We were born into a world that had countless religions in the world before you and I ever got here. Before you and I were ever even born, there was the Muslim religion. There were Hindus. There were Buddhists. There were Shintos. There was Zoroastrianism. Pick a religion. You may be, there's all kinds of religions out there. And then there are just countless philosophies that existed in this world before we ever even got here. Philosophies that are taught and propagated from the minds and the imaginations of men. And then in the world there are those who profess to be followers of Jesus the Christ, the King. And you don't have to be a Solomon to figure out that there's a lot of different teachings out there among people who profess to be Christians, and they're not all the same. You got different teachings about just the basic fundamentals about how to become a Christian. You got wide variances on how to worship God, the work of Christianity, the morals of Christianity, just pick any aspect of Christianity, and you will find that there are divergent, wide variations among those who profess to be Christians. And obviously, somebody's got to be wrong. I hope and I pray that I am not those individuals described in Matthew 7:21. Who are calling upon Him as Lord, Lord, who are thinking in my life, I'm doing the will of God, I'm on my way to heaven, just to have Him say to you and I and me, to say to us in the day of judgment and look at us and say, I don't know you. That verse scares me. I understand that for me to be able to be with God in heaven, I have to come to understand what the will of the Father in heaven is. There's a direct connection between my salvation and my knowledge of the Word and will of God. What we desire here at the Lindale Church of Christ, we desire for everybody in this town to be saved. We desire for everybody in this county, in this state, in this country to be saved. But we recognize it's not enough just to have zeal. There must be knowledge. A knowledge of the truth. You cannot keep the commandments of God by faith if you do not know what those commandments are. That being the case, one of the primary things we are trying to do here is to sound forth the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 says, from you the Word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. If you want to understand one of our primary works, our primary desires, is to take this, the Word of God, and to let you, the congregation, and the people here in our community, and the people here in our county, and as many as will listen to us, hear what the Word of God says. It is our primary drive, our primary desire and goal to let people in this world hear the Word of God so they can understand what the will of the Father in heaven is, so they can have a knowledge of the truth. And with that knowledge of the truth, the will of the Father who is in heaven, then by faith, motivated by their zeal and their hope and their love for God, keep His commandments. Our desire for all men is the same desire for God that God has. And that is our desires for all men to be saved. But we recognize there's a direct connection between their salvation and their knowledge of the truth. So therefore, our work, our job, our goal, our desire is to, as best as we can, put the truth out for people to hear and understand and obey. And then speaking to those of you that are part of this congregation. Our hope, our desire, our wish, our prayer is that every member of this congregation would grow stronger spiritually. I'm going to tell you something if you're a visitor here about every single member of this congregation. Not a single one of us is perfect. Every single one of us have weaknesses, flaws. Every single one of us have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. But we are striving to grow more and more like Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We're trying to be more like our King by faith. And one of the primary works that we're trying to do here is to strengthen the members of this congregation. Paul in writing to the Thessalonians says in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. And again, the idea is that there's something lacking, that we're not complete. How many of you here this morning can say, I have reached the maturity of Christ, the stature of Christ, to where I have the patience of Jesus Christ? How many of you can say, I have the godliness of Jesus Christ? I have the humility of Jesus Christ. I have the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. I have the love of Jesus Christ. If you say that, you're a liar. Every single one of us have a long way to go to even get close. And part of our work is recognizing this reality, that we are trying to grow more and more complete, more and more like Christ, and strengthen what is lacking in our faith and in our character. Look at this. Over in Acts 20 and verse 32. He explains how you strengthen a congregation. So now, brethren, I commend to you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What you need is, again, the word of God. Look at this over in Timothy. Paul in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And notice the last part of this. That the man of God, that's you. That the man of God may be complete. Remember the text we read earlier? Completing what is lacking in your faith. Perfecting what is lacking in your faith. That the man of God may be complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. What you need to hear is the Word of God. You don't need my feelings. You don't need philosophies. You don't need cutesy stories. You need to hear the Word of God. And that is why the responsibility of the evangelist is to preach the Word of God. That's the responsibility of the elders is to feed you the Word of God. That's the responsibilities of all the teachers in every single class, from the little kindergarten class all the way to the adult class, is to give you the Word of God. Because this is what completes us. This is what helps us grow stronger spiritually and strengthens us and fills in what is lacking. This is how we come to recognize where we are to go, what we're striving to be like, and how to get there by faith. First Thessalonians again, 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. In every congregation, you have brethren who are at different levels spiritually. As I said, we all have spiritual flaws. And the flaws are not all the same. We all have spiritual weaknesses, and they're not all the same. In every congregation, you have some that are spiritually stronger. They may have more patience. They may have more kindness. They may have more brotherly love. They may have a stronger knowledge of the Word of God. They may have a stronger faith. In every congregation, you have brethren that are at different levels spiritually. And in every congregation, unless you've got a congregation of two, but if you've got a congregation like this, you're going to find they're going to be brethren that are going to be unruly. And what we're told to do is you warn them. You take the Word of God, you try to show them from the Word of God where they need to correct their lives. the direction they're going in, which is not the will of the Father in heaven. And then you warn them to try to encourage them to repent, to turn from it, and to come back to doing the will of the Father in heaven. In every congregation, you have those that are faint-hearted, and we're told to comfort them. You're going to find a congregation, there are brethren that are struggling. They're weak. The text says here, uphold them. And notice how he concludes this text by saying, be patient with all men. The reason I believe he concludes it by saying, be patient with all, is because those that are weak, the idea is you strengthen them and you should be able to walk away and go, okay, you're going to be strong, bye, I got to go. And yet they're still weak. And they're still needing encouragement. And they're still needing exhortation. You need to realize that this is a continual work that doesn't go away. What we are desiring and hoping for is that every member of this congregation, from the strongest to the weakest, will hopefully grow stronger and be more like Christ tomorrow than they were today. And we're doing this hopefully by teaching the Word of God and by being there for one another and exhorting one another while it's called a day and encouraging one another while it's called a day and getting involved in one another's lives and helping those that are weak rather than just leaving them floundering on the ground and saying, I ain't got time, I got to go, bye, good luck. Our hope and our prayer and our desire is for every member to keep growing stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger to where eventually all these Christian attributes are in you and abounding and Christ is shining brightly through you. And as that happens and you become stronger, guess what? The stronger always have the responsibility to uphold those that are weaker and to comfort the faint-hearted and to warn those that are unruly and help them grow stronger and stronger and stronger. If you were to go through this congregation and start identifying the men and the women that you may think in your mind they are spiritually strong, if you were to just sit down with them and talk with them about their life, you would probably find that in the lives of many of these men and women there was a time when they were the ones who were unruly and faint-hearted and weak. And people did not give up on them. That's why he says, be patient. Don't give up on weak brethren. Let's conclude. We'll go to the next point now. We desire for the brethren in this congregation to increase in their love for each other. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Again, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. What we're talking about here is the relationship that we have with each other. You know, it is possible to just come to the assembly, to worship together with the saints, and then leave the assembly and have no relationship with the people who assemble. Are we perfect? No. Do all of us have our character flaws, spiritual flaws? Yes. But you are spiritual family. We are tied together by the blood of Jesus the Christ. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are family. The Lord wants us to draw closer to each other in that relationship, to where our love for each other abounds more and more, and to where we are involved in each other's lives, edifying one another and encouraging one another and exhorting one another and comforting one another when they're going through trials, to where when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That's the goal. When one member suffers, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, the entire congregation, all the members, feel that pain and suffer with that individual and strive to relieve that pain as quick as possible, bearing one another's burdens. That's the goal. And the Lord wants us to continue to work to grow stronger in that relationship. Are we there yet? No. Just like we haven't attained to the stature of the fullness of Christ, we're not there yet to where when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. But our hope and our desire and our goal is to press on to reach that level. It is a continual growing process. Again in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Isn't that what we want? We want you to grow stronger spiritually. We want your faith to grow stronger. And then we want you to be family. To really care about each other. To have a relationship with each other that extends beyond this assembly. To let each other in where you really are in your lives. To really be more than friendly, but be friends. To be family. That is what we desire. That's what we're after. Let's continue now. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12. He says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Now, I want you to notice here, he's talking about physical blessings. He's talking about having a quiet life. He's talking about working with your own hands, having a good job, being able to provide for the needs of your family. And he says here that you may lack nothing. I admit it. It is our hope. It is our wish. It is our desire for each and every one of you that are here that you have good lives. Not only do we want you to be spiritually strong and love one another as a spiritual family, we want you to have good lives. We want you to have lives that are filled with quiet, peace, and joy. We hope that you will be able to work, and that the job you're working at, that you will be able to prosper and do well and provide for the needs of your family. Look at this over in Job, in 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. At the beginning of our assembly this morning, we had announcements. And in the announcements, we were announcing members of this congregation and family members who are ill. Do you know why we announce those that are ill? So we can pray for them. If they're in the hospital, go visit them. If they need help at home and they're not able to carry their burdens at home because of their physical ailments, try to be there for them. What we would hope and we would pray, and I look out my audience right now, I see some of you that I know are physically ill. I know some of you are in pain right now, and the pain and the thorns aren't going away. Some of you may be scheduled for surgery to try to get the pain and the thorn to go away, but right now the pain is there. It is our hope and our prayer and our desire that you have good health. And prosper. It's not sinful to drive a nice car. It's not sinful to want to live in a nice house. It's not sinful to wear nice clothes. It's not sinful to want to eat good food. We happen to be blessed to be living in America. And you're in Texas. If you don't know what that is, you need to go to a foreign country like Mississippi. I'm from there. I can say that. It is like going back to a foreign country when I go home sometime. You're in a prosperous town, a prosperous state, a prosperous country. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to make you feel conscious. Because with prosperity becomes responsibility. If God has blessed you with physical treasure, so you in turn can use this treasure to His honor and His glory. But also there's something else we desire for you. We want your families to be good and strong. We want you to have a life filled with joy. We want you to have a life filled with peace and happiness. Look at this again. Over in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. We want you to have a quiet life. You know why I preach sermons on marriage and the family? It is not so that your wife can say, see. Or so your husband can go, honey, did you see what he said there? And so you can have arguments about what the Word of God says. The reason I deliver lessons on the family and the husband and the wife and the parents and the children is because we want you to have families that are built around God's will and God's Word, because when you do it His way, hopefully you will have a family where there is peace and quiet and love and joy. We want you to have good homes. You need to realize the Word of God is not chains keeping you from having a good time. God loves us, and He wants us to get the most out of life. He wants your life filled with joy and happiness, contentment, quietness, peace. And the way to it is by following the instructions of the Creator. So we want you to have good homes, good families. We hope you have a good job where you're able to take care of the needs of your family and lack nothing, and be able to even help others with the wealth that you've been prospered with. We hope that you have a good life. And then we will conclude with the most important desire and hope and wish of the Lindo Church of Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. As we begin the sermon, we try to point out to you our desires for all men to be saved. I do not question the zeal of some individuals. I don't even question their trust. I question their knowledge of the truth. And so therefore, we try to let people know what we believe the truth of the Word of God is. But for those of you that are here, whom we have the opportunity to preach the Word to hopefully strengthen what is lacking in your faith and in your life, to complete you spiritually, what it is all about, while we are assembling, while we're having Bible classes, while we're trying to teach the Word of God, while we are doing everything that we are doing, is for this one goal ultimately, that you may be in the presence of God Almighty in heaven. That's what it's all about. I can tell you what the desire of every one of these elders in this congregation is. They're watching out for your soul. And they're wanting every sheep in this congregation that they are overseeing. They're wanting every soul of every sheep in this congregation to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why they will warn those that are unruly. That's why they will go after stray sheep. That is why they will try to correct you with the Word of God. That is why they will try to exhort you, is because they want you in the presence of the Lord. Some of you are going to finish the race before me. It is my hope and my desire that those of you that finish the race will finish the race in Christ. You know what we want for those of you that are in the middle of your life? We want you to continue to run the race of Christianity faithfully and to finish the race in Christ. And we want you in the presence of the Lord. You know what our hope and a desire is for each and every one of you young men and women who are in the body of Christ? Our hope, our desire, our prayer for you more than anything is that you ultimately make it to where you are in the presence of the Lord in heaven. That is what it is all about. That is our ultimate desire, our ultimate prayer, our ultimate hope for all of you. And that is why we're doing everything that we are doing. to make that hope, to make that prayer, to make that desire a reality. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not really sure if I'll be able to recognize people in heaven. I'm not really completely clear on that subject. But there's one thing I absolutely do know. I'll know if I'm there or not. And the primary goal for me personally is to be there myself in the presence of God. And if God will allow it, and it is the way it will be, I'd love to be able to look across, see Brother Carter, see Matt, see my son, my daughter, my other son. I look around and see my wife, my mother, my father, my grandmother, and each and every one of you. You in the presence of the Lord. That is my joy. That is the joy of the elders. That is the joy of the Lindell Church of Christ. That's why we do what we do. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you desire to be a member of the body of Christ, I will tell you what the Word of God says. On the day of Pentecost, when the Jews said to Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, speaking the Holy Spirit, told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can do the same thing today that they did on the day of Pentecost. You now have a knowledge of the word and will of God. It is up to you to obey it. If you desire to obey the gospel this morning and you're willing to openly confess your faith, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, we will help you would consider to worship with this local congregation, the Lindell Church of Christ. And from the sermon this morning, hopefully you will understand us a little better about who we are, what our hopes are, what our desires and our prayers and our goals are, and why we're doing what we're doing. As I told you in the introduction, for those of you that are visiting, you're welcome. We hope you feel very welcome here. So welcome that you'll want to come back. But there may be a member of this congregation who is already in the body of Christ, and you realize that you have not been living a life that is pleasing to our Lord, and there's sin standing between you and God. We, as your family, we'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll try to be there for you, to comfort you, to encourage you, to edify you, to strengthen you, to hopefully to where you will be stronger in the future than you have been in the past. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs, Brother Cherry has selected.